Morning, everyone. This is a beautiful day. I want to share some thoughts that I've been having of late about what's in my right hand and what's on my forehead. And I know we have warning in Revelation about that, and y'all have heard me often speak on Revelation. I think there's a lot there for God's children to consider. A lot of times we in Christian world say, well, that's the people that are going to hell. But there's a lot of judgment in Revelation to God's people. And something that kind of brings everything together for me in my life is applying those admonitions to my own life and seeing that maybe some of those verses do speak to us. If we take the notion that the Bible is written to the world that's fallen in terms of going to eternal lake of fire, then we miss a whole lot of instruction.
That's right.
And if we're going to do that, then we're going to find excuses all the time for why these verses don't apply to us. Everything I believe that God has given us as far as institutions are under attack. The home, who is a man, who's a woman, how many different sexes and genders we have. All these things that we have are under attack, and the tearing down of the family. And we need to maybe have some help and instruction as to what we need to take a look at to help us see these things. And I think maybe that little simple passage in Revelation about having the mark of the beast in your right hand, your forehead, applies to us. It also applies to the non-elect, because that's all they have, is the mark of the beast. But we can have the mark of the beast in us when we submit ourselves. And our old nature is the only one that can do that. Our Adam nature can submit with labor, hand, and forehead, will. And so when we go back in time into the early chapters of the Bible in Exodus 20, it says in the third verse, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath and that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. We have many examples of Israel going astray. It even says that they were visiting groves and they were worshiping idols. Groves is a sexual thing. There's a lot of things in this world that are happening today that point to the same thing Israel did. And they get carried off into captivity, you know, by Babylon or whatever. Well, brothers and sisters, we're being carried into captivity. We don't have to be overcome by a nation. We can be overcome and fall within. And the Bible warns us in Revelation to come out of her, my people, that you may not partake of her sins. That's a religious system of works. And we need to come out of it. I don't care what denomination out there. It doesn't matter what their name is. There's a certain degree of works that is involved in right hand and forehead worship. And we need to take note of that. And a lot of that begins with imaging. We're bombarded today with images. I can fall in a heartbeat by seeing some image and then giving a little bit of time thinking about it. Whereas, you know, years ago, I guess the only images that we had was something we read about. But now we get it in through our eyes. The gateways of our eyes are seeing things that we probably need to stay away from, because it's helping our right hand and our forehead to not worship God. And so Exodus 20 talks about not having graven images. But yet we are taught in the Bible about imaging In Revelation 13, 17, the big beast with seven heads. We talked about the beast of the leper with two horns. We're taught of the mother of the harlots in Revelation 17. All these images are images about the system that Satan uses to captivate God's children. We are under attack. Satan already has the non-elect, but he's after God's children to destroy their witness. He also uses a system of Nicolaitans in Ephesus and Pergamos, two churches in Revelation 20. It talks about don't submit to the doctrines of the Nicolaitans. And I paraphrase that. What it means to me is that any system that teaches you that you can do something with your right hand and your forehead is a Nicolaitan system. Because if I can tell you what you have to do to get saved, I control you. I can't do anything. And brothers and sisters, we can't buy or sell anything of God. It is a gift. So if I have a system that tells you you can buy something and sell something, then I have the mark of the beast in me. And that mark of the beast is in each of us, whether we want to think about it or not. We got to fight it. We have to come out of her, my people, that you may not partake of her sins. Because guess what? There's judgment. We get judged now. The lake of fire, we don't experience as God's children out there in eternity. We experience the lake of fire now, when our old nature is submitting its right hand and forehead to systems that of worship that defy Exodus 20, we're going to be judged. When I was 25 years old, I learned about the truth of how God saves his people, that you can't buy it or sell it. An old elder in my workplace who worked in the real world, sort of like Brother Marty worked at Lockheed, he spent time to share with me how I was saved. Not when, but how. And that was the most beautiful thing, because I put down out of my right hand and my forehead the notion that I could buy or sell anything. Because I was trying to sell this salvation of saying a sinner's prayer to other people. I was taught in my religious circles that you have to do something to get something. And I've often talked about that. You shouldn't do things to get things. You should do things because you love. So there's many verses that talk about another image, and that's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the embodiment of the Godhead. And I've often talked about the Son of Man. Unless we really understand the human being that's in heaven, Jesus Christ, our brother, we miss a lot. Yes, he is the Son of God. Yes, he does give us eternal life. But he's also the perfect human that did what Adam couldn't do. Adam fell off of all four of those horses in the apocalypse chapter of Revelation 6, but Jesus rode them all. There's famine, pestilence, and war mentioned in all those depictions. And everybody jumps off and says, well, that's images of the end time. Well, when's it going to happen? I don't know, except when the last person's born again, it will happen thereafter. But I don't know how big that book is of life. I don't know how big the book of life is, how long it is. We could say the dark ages, Jesus should have come back. You know, 60 million Christians were killed, which is an average of 60,000 a year for 1,000 years. And then we look at all the regimes, Stalin and Mao Zedong, and all these different times when there's been great darkness on this earth. And you would think, well, Jesus, you got to come back. Get us out of here. Guess what? You're not going to be taken out of here. You're going to have to go through it. There is no tribulation that we're going to escape and go off for 7 years while the rest of the world's in hell And then we come back and be administrators on the earth for 1,000 years? No, brethren, we are living in the kingdom age now. And the Bible equips us with information to help us not submit our right hand and our forehead to a system. He tells us to look at the images of Satan, which blaspheme God, which blaspheme his tabernacle, which blaspheme all that is good. Why? So that he can have your right hand and your forehead. Submit to a system that defies God and lifts himself up. Brethren, one day Satan, he's going to use all religions of the world to captivate in the one world government that's coming. And I really believe that we're headed toward that, because it says when he's loose for a season, he's going to come against the camp of saints about in that holy city of, I believe that spirit and truth worship of people who don't have anything in their right hand and their forehead. Why? Because we are believing that God is sovereign. We believe that he is the one that gives us eternal life. We believe that it is a gift. It is not something that you can work for. So we are hopeful that we have come out of her, my people. And I want to encourage everyone to think on those things. I want to read a few verses and then I'll close. In Colossians 1, it says that, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature." So God does talk about proper imaging. I mean, I'm not talking about a billboard of Jesus with long flowing hair and maybe some Hollywood actor displaying the life of Christ. The image, you got to be in here. And it's got to be something that changes us. And that change is that we stop trying to do things with our right hand and our forehead. So I would encourage, once I heard that gospel message when I was 25, I came out of her. And I was blessed. And I stopped trying to do things with my right hand and my forehead. I really believe that I'd be divorced right now. I could be dead right now had I not heard that gospel message. I've been married now 45 years. And I believe with all my heart that God gives such clarity of thought and peace that we often sing about, so that we can come out of her. So I would encourage us to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, which means it's not you are saying that you were in him in that death, that burial, that resurrection, and that you trust that his work was for you. And if you have that burning desire to know more about him, you're already born again. A person can live and never be in a church and go to heaven. Why? Because God knows his children. He knows where they are. Their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus Christ 100% secured their eternal life in the merits of the cross. He knows where they are. They could be one cell big. I've often said that, and many people think, well, that's kind of weird. You don't own your body. Contrary to the imaging that the federal government is trying to force on us, you don't own it. Christ bought and paid for it. He also gave us a new creature inside, which is the image of Jesus Christ in us. So 2/3 of us, and I've often said that, is ready to go to heaven. A third, the new nature, which has never sinned, which never, by the way, submits his right hand or forehead to Satan. Only our old nature does that. Okay? And our body is redeemable. God loves our body. Jesus Christ paid to take our body. So our body is not the problem. The problem is our old nature that loves to worship with its right hand and its forehead. Okay? In Romans 8:29, It says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. We were predestinated to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ when we were born again. And vitally, we will be conformed to his image physically when he returns. So we got two predestinations, and if you look at the eternal aspect of that, we were predestinated before the foundation of the world. So we have a lot of predestinations that Satan hates and he blasphemes against. No, God can't do that. Can't do that. I want you to pick up your right hand and your forehead and start worshiping me, the mother of harlots. Come out of her, my people, it says. Don't be a part of that Nicolaitan religion. And I know I'm talking to people right now that understand that in this body right here, but there are a lot of God's children don't know that. They haven't heard the gospel trumpet sound. They haven't heard the message that Jesus Christ saves by himself and at the pleasure of his goodwill. So we have a lot of predestinations. In the beginning it says, and God said, let us make man in our image. Here it is. A lot of imaging going on, good imaging. But Revelation talks about some bad images. So keep that in mind. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created them. There was the institution that Satan hates. He hates that. And I've already mentioned Revelation 13 and 17, those images that are there. That's, again, what we are to come out of. So I'm going to close with Revelation 13, where it talks about that image of Satan. It says, the image system says, you should make an image unto the beast. So we have a system of religion here today, and there's going to be with holography or whatever technology that is out there that we now have, Satan is going to start really pumping some images in our heads. And we got to resist that. We got to be strong. And he says, y'all should make an image to the beast. And by the way, he doesn't really care anything. He'll give you all those images, and then he'll even destroy them. He'll destroy all religions, denominational religions, and then said, ha-ha, I'm God. I tricked y'all. But he can only do that truly with those that aren't born again. But we, in our old nature, can submit to that. And we need to come out of that. So when I was 25 and I heard the gospel message, I started to come out of her. But I waited 15 years to get baptized. I'm kind of sorry for that, in a way. But God was merciful and allowed me to go be a fighter pilot, go fight in a war, go do these things that I wanted to do. And then he got my attention when I lost my job at Delta Airlines. He got my attention, and I met Brother Marty, and I heard again some more of the gospel. So all these things fit together, and the Lord is merciful and does love his children. He's bidding us to come out of her. So keep that in mind. In Revelation 13 says, and he causeth all, both great and small, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and their forehead, or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. We, when we believe in sovereign grace, again, we can't buy or sell anything. So therefore, when we understand that, we don't have the mark of the beast being manifested in us. It's always there, ready to pop out of the ground. But we have to resist that. So we're going to have a lot of people in the world coming here real soon that are going to give us images of. We need to come together as a united people. Line up here for your vaccinations. do this, do that, forced compliance. These are all evil systems to enslave. We are to resist it. No, we're not going to do that. Does that mean we might be killed for it? Yeah, it's okay. I don't want to die early, but I don't know what my future may bring by resisting such a system of forced compliance of my right hand and my forehead. But I don't want to go there. Because I've already lived through a little bit of lake of fire hell by believing I could do something to get born again. Why should I submit myself to a system that tries to reverse all of what I've been blessed to know and go totally against what God has taught us? That's not good. Once we have tasted these beautiful things, we're not supposed to leave it. We're supposed to grow in it so more can come out of the ground and manifest. And we can be like grass. I mean, even Revelation, I love these images. A third of the grass, a third of this, a third of that, a third of us is corrupt. The mind, the carnal mind and the fallen spirit of the old nature is totally opposed from the mind of Christ and the spirit of the new creature. So each of our natures has its own mind and has its own spirit. But there's only one body. So let's be blessed by God to fight that system that is trying to enslave us. And all the images that we see coming from the religious world, we can politely say, no, thank you. I don't want that. I believe that God is sovereign. He loves his children, that he will provide them for what they need. And it don't matter. There are a whole lot of people in the Bible that lost their life believing this. I don't think they submitted their right hand or their forehead. They were beheaded. They were crucified. They were burned at the stake. There were a lot of people who died to keep this. So my desire every day, like I said, this is not a one-time deal. Every day I fight images. Every day I fight right hand and forehead things that are going on. And it's opposed to God. It's blasphemous. Jesus Christ does judge us. Thank God we don't have to be judged in the lake of fire one day. But he will judge his people through their conscience. And he will, with that still small voice, say, don't do that. Don't go that way. I have something better for you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what you have done for us. We are so blessed, and yet we take for granted those things that you have given us freely. And we say, Lord, I think it needs to be improved, and maybe I can add a little here and a little there and help you out, Lord. We can't help you, Lord. Save your people. We can't buy or sell anything. And we do not want to submit to the beast system that may be coming upon us. It's always been here, but it will materialize more and more with images and with things that are physical. We're not to worship the physical domain. Our life is in you and in the spiritual domain. The manifestation of that spiritual life is in the physical sense, but what the world is trying to get us to do is to make our physical activity bear fruit in the spiritual domain, and it's impossible. We ask thy blessings upon the service, and we ask thy blessings upon this nation, Lord. We are in captivity. We are being destroyed, Father, and we ask that you would destroy all the things that dishonor you. I would love to see abortion go away. I would love to see all these things that we are doing that defile you and blaspheme you go away. And then all these images that captivate our minds go away. But I know that the only way they're going to go away is by us submitting to you and not wanting to take those things into our right hand and forehead. So I ask thy blessings upon the people here and in thy children all over this world. I don't care where they are. You have children everywhere. We are so blessed. Father, you are the great equalizer. You raise up kings. You raise up leaders. So I ask that you would, those that you've raised up, maybe you would help them to repent, because we're being led astray left and right. And we ask thy blessings upon this coming election, Father, that we would be able to restore some semblance of righteousness that is off as a nation, because we are in trouble. The world's in trouble. But we know that as the age closes and that last child of grace is born again, you're coming back soon. So we're not looking for a way out. We're looking for you to help us while we're here. Please forgive us of our sins. Thank you for all your love and blessings. In Christ's name, I do pray. Amen.